Tonight was the rematch for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship between Hangman Page and Jon Moxley. This was a rematch from AEW All In Texas a few weeks ago. We went from a Texas death match with all kinds of interference to a regular match with what was supposed to be no interference. We ended up with a little bit of interference. But we did get the rematch tonight. It is now over and done with. We can now move beyond Hangman and Moxley. Hangman Page, still the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. And it was not the main event tonight. That was the biggest surprise of anything on this show. The fact that they did not close Dynamite tonight with the big World Championship rematch. They actually opened the top of the hour with it. And there were still more matches yet to come. They had me thinking for a second there that maybe they were going to go the full hour. And all the other matches that they had announced, it was just sort of a way to throw us off. And they were going to go the full 60, but they didn't do that. So that was a bit of an odd choice. It became clear at the end of the show why Tony Khan did what he did. It was still very weird. It was a weird choice to make as far as the positioning of that match on this show. But what we did get in the main event at the very end was Mark Briscoe, one-on-one against Ricochet. And this makes 2 weeks in a row that Mark Briscoe has been in the main event of Dynamite, has won the main event of Dynamite. Last week it was against Claudio. Tonight it was against Ricochet. And now we know that next week it is going to be Mark Briscoe back in the main event for the third straight week. And he's going to be going one-on-one with MJF. So that's 3 weeks in a row that we are going to get of Mark Briscoe main events. Tony Khan is trying to create something in Mark Briscoe that did not exist before, where Mark Briscoe was played really for comedy in many ways. And he was, you know, a solid mid-card talent that you can plug in anywhere on the show. People love Mark Briscoe. But what we saw tonight when he was addressing MJF was a more serious side of Mark Briscoe that we have not seen before. And I don't know if it's going to stick. It could just be for the MJF stuff. But they're trying to, at least for now, create a new main eventer on this show. And I can't fault Tony Khan for trying something like that. Mark Briscoe is, again, he's a beloved figure on the show. And he's a very good pro wrestler. And this is the way that you try to create someone that the fans can look at and not think, wow, it's kind of weird that he's in the main event tonight. The only way you can do that is by putting him in main events and having him win. And that's exactly what he's doing right now. But it ties into the Hangman MJF story, because we got more interaction on the show with them tonight as well. MJF wants a title match, not with his contract. Hangman says, no, you have to earn it or you have to cash in your contract. One or the other. But I am not going to hand you a world championship match. And in fact, I think that Mark Briscoe deserves a shot before you do. And that's why we're getting that main event next week with Briscoe and MJF. And presumably the winner of that match is going to become the number one contender for the AEW World Championship. Because I've been looking at this and going, Jon Moxley and Darby Allin, right? That's a direction that seems clear. As we head into whether it's Forbidden Door, All Out, we can see where things are going with the two of them. And I haven't really been able to figure out what the plan is for Hangman. MJF has the contract, right? So he can cash in at any time. Are they going to go with somebody else? Is there somebody that we're not thinking of here who's next in line for a title, you know, opportunity? No, it's probably MJF or it's Mark Briscoe. It's going to be one of these two guys. And we'll have a sense of that by the time Dynamite goes off the air next week. MJF, meanwhile, officially out of the Hurt Syndicate. We only had 1/3 of the Hurt Syndicate on the show tonight, if you don't count MJF. And it was made very clear to him that you are out of the group. We'll talk about that. We had another match in the tag team tournament to crown number one contenders. The winners will challenge the Hurt Syndicate at Forbidden Door. Tonight it was the Young Bucks and the Outrunners. I did not like the outcome of that match. But on the whole, I like this show. I actually thought it was a really solid show. Timing of the main event aside, as weird as that was, the show had a good flow to it. And look, they were telling multiple stories throughout the night, right? This is what you want to see when you watch this show. I didn't even mention the tag team match with the women where Athena pinned the AEW Women's World Champion. And it's about fucking time that we're getting Athena consistently on the A show every single week, right? I can't be mad about that. So they were telling multiple stories tonight. We had some good matches. We're going to break it all down and get into it here. This is your AEW Dynamite review. It is Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. I am the Solid Monster, the final Dynamite review here for the month of July. Thank you for choosing me for your Dynamite coverage. Do hit that subscribe button as we slowly ascend towards 88,000. Can't do it without you. Hit that like button as well. If we can get up to 400 likes minimum during the live stream, we will do Be the Booker. That is your homework. That is your goal if you want to get us there. And super chats are open as well. I appreciate all of the support you throw my way, and I will be reading all of your messages a little bit later on here in the stream as well. So we'll start with that tag team tournament match because that's how they opened the show tonight. It was with the Outrunners and the Young Bucks. This is the World Tag Team Title Eliminator Tournament. The winners will wrestle Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin at the O2 in London next month. August 24th, I believe, is the date. So here it was the Bucks and the Outrunners. The Outrunners were out there dressed like a pack of Newports. I mean, clearly that's what it was designed to be. And the Young Bucks got the jobber entrance. They were already in the ring. I'm looking at these guys out there. And I'm, you know, Matt and Nick are already in the ring, and they get a very, you know, blasé introduction from Justin Roberts. And I'm just looking at them standing there. I'm like, this is something straight out of Wrestling Challenge in 1992. And the guys that would be in the ring would probably look like the Young Bucks. With the Bucks entrance, what they also did on the lower third, you know, normally they have the stats, whatever your record is, your name, and then your social media handle directly underneath. They just left the template up. So it said stat, it said name, it said social media. Nothing was filled in. It says, what happens? They're no longer EVPs. So they don't get coddled like they used to. The Outrunners, they cut an inset promo about how win, lose, or draw, they're rich. Because they just won $200,000. They were part of a big tag match on Collision, apparently, last week for $400,000. Of which they get half of that. So they have 200 grand. Apparently, I guess they could retire off of this. Hey, at least they're acknowledging the money. This dumb money stipulation from these matches that they're doing. We just need vignettes of them now doing various activities with the $200,000. But I was happy they at least acknowledged it. We'll skip ahead here. After a break, early in the match, Matt spat in Turbo Floyd's face. Nearly got the hot tag. Nick Jackson, though, swept the legs as Truth Magnum dove for the tag. Nick ran wild with a series of super kicks until Matt hit a somersault cutter off the apron to the floor on Floyd. Nick connected on a slingshot facebuster on Magnum for two before hitting Risky Business with Matt for a two count. Magnum escaped more bang for your buck. He finally got the hot tag, and the fans went nuts for this. And this is why. You know, last week and even on TNT, I talked about how, man, you know, I really hope that the Outrunners can, if they don't win the entire tournament, that at least the Outrunners can move on. The Outrunners are, obviously, it's a throwback gimmick, obviously, but they're fun. Like, that to me is what pro wrestling is all about. And the fans have bought into it. And so even in this match here, like, this match had great heat. And when they got the hot tag, like, the place, because they were in Chicago again this week. This is the last week of their residency at the Aragon Ballroom. So whatever they have there, 1,000 people, 1,100 people, and they go nuts for this stuff because they're over. In front of these fans, they're over. So the Outrunners tried Total Recall. Matt, though, made the save with a super kick. They were ramping up the super kick party until Floyd no-sold it, and he turned both Bucks inside out with lariats. The son of a bitch, double elbow, I love it, connects for two. Nick made the save and then hit a moonsault to the floor. Nick almost collided with Rick Knox. Maybe he would have knocked some sense into him. Managed a low blow mule kick, though, on Magnum. Nick then gave Knox a shove. Rick Knox then shoved him back. Of course, on his hands and knees behind Matt, or behind Nick, rather, was Magnum, so he tripped and fell over him. Got a roll up, only got a two count. The Bucks accidentally super kicked each other, which allowed Total Recall to connect on Matt. Nick, though, dove in to make the save. Man, these people, they wanted an OutRunner win here. Total Recall was avoided a second time. Matt got a schoolboy with the tights for a two count, and the Bucks managed a TK driver as Nick held off Floyd and Matt was able to get the pin. The fans were not happy about this finish, and neither was I. Very disappointed with the finish. It was a fun match, but I was really hoping they would give the OutRunners a win here because they could use this win. They've lost some matches, right? The last two matches with FTR, they could have used this win. The Bucks, they just got stripped of their EVP titles. They're kind of down on their luck. It would have fit, you know, that they're kind of in the doldrums right now. So, holy shit, they lost to the OutRunners here in the opening round. But no such luck. Now I'm hoping that we are headed for FTR against, and yes, this is what they're calling them, Brodito. Bandito and Brody King are a team in this tournament. And so they are calling them Brodito. And the best I would hope for now is Brodito and FTR in the finals. Because the one thing I really just have no appetite in seeing is another match, right? As great as some of their matches have been, I think we could give it a rest for a while with FTR and the Young Bucks. Plus, two heel teams doesn't make any sense. Two heel teams, and by the way, don't forget the Hurt Syndicate, technically, really, are heels. I know the heels, or the fans don't treat them that way, but they really are heels. So that would be very weird if we end up with two heel teams in the finals. It's kind of like a no-win situation. I think Brodito's stock just went way up as far as them going to the finals. They're not going to win, but as far as them going to the finals, because I don't like the alternative. So Kazuchika Okada, he came out, even though he's now with the Don Callis family. I guess he's still buddy-buddy with the Bucks. So he came down to the ring to celebrate, and they put a beat down on the OutRunners. Swerve Strickland's music hit. Okada then turned his attention to the stage, not realizing that the OutRunners had made a comeback, and they left him pinballed, basically, between Strickland, Turbo Floyd, and Magnum. Huge backdrop by Floyd that led to Swerve wanting the house call kick. The Bucks pull Okada out to safety. Or not, because Swerve goes up top. He hits a big swerve stomp off the top rope onto the heels outside. And that is how they close things out. So again, the match was fun. I just wish the finish went a different way. So for me, that was kind of disappointing. Now, Renee was backstage with Mark Briscoe. Another big night for Mark Briscoe. And she brings up his issues with MJF before Ricochet walks in with the Gates of Agony. Said that if Briscoe isn't careful, Ricochet will bounce him out of town in a pool of his own blood like he did at Revolution. Because they're wrestling tonight. Little did we know it would be the main event, but they were wrestling later in the show. Briscoe said that he's a whole different animal than the person that he matched up with at Revolution. He said he's on the warpath, and he will whoop Ricochet's ass. But that's nothing compared to what he's going to do to MJF. And Ricochet is like, hey, dude, over here, me. I'm your opponent tonight, not MJF. He said tonight he's beating Briscoe again and called him a loser. And then he did his cackle, which I am not going to do. We come back from break. Excalibur and Taz, they mention MJF being in Happy Gilmore 2. Finally! They said nothing about this last week. I was like, they can't no-sell this. So they finally mentioned that he's in this freaking movie. And they also reminded people that he is in possession of that contract for a guaranteed world championship match anytime he wants. But they bring up that the Hurt Syndicate are obviously sick and tired of him. And then they replay some of the stuff that happened last week. So we come back live. MJF is in the back, and he's in a hallway right in front of the Hurt Syndicate's dressing room. And he mentions that he's currently in the biggest movie in the world, Happy Gilmore 2, and then knocked on the door. He was looking to get things with the Hurt Syndicate back on track. Shelton Benjamin opens the door, and there's no MVP, and there's no Bob. There's no Bobby Lashley here. MJF said that from the bottom of his heart, he's sorry for Bob's actions last week, but he wants to strategize on how to get his AEW world title back. Benjamin said MVP isn't there because he's pretty disgusted with MJF. And he asked MJF if he had the, do you have the time? And MJF said, no, because I gave you my watch. I just love the idea. He gave him his watch like a month and a half ago. This fucking guy hasn't gotten a second watch since then. Or he doesn't have a phone either, apparently. So he goes, no, I gave you my watch, so I don't have the time. And Benjamin pulls out the watch that MJF gave him. And he says, it really is a nice watch. He goes, in fact, it might be the nicest watch that I've ever seen. Come from Timu. He asked MJF if he thought that he was so stupid that he wouldn't be able to tell the difference between a Rolex and a cheap knockoff, which is what this is. Benjamin said that because of the watch, they've been on to MJF this entire time. And he said the only reason they didn't take him out months ago was because MVP stuck his neck out for him. He said MJF can get to stepping with his fake watch, and if he doesn't, he'll leave him in a pool of his own piss. I like that. It reminds me of the time that Brock Lesnar warned John Cena that he was going to leave him in a pool of, I think he said, what was it? Was it piss and blood or piss and vomit? Maybe it was all three. I just remember I was completely grossed out by whatever it was that he said. But yes, he's going to leave him in a pool of his own piss. Benjamin tossed the watch at MJF, who didn't catch it, so it fell to the floor and it broke because it's a cheap piece of shit. And he gave MJF a thumbs down. And then he said that you're out of the Hurt Syndicate. And he slammed the door in his face. And MJF screamed for the camera to get out of here. I like that they did this because there were a lot of people who were saying, well, this came out of nowhere. You know, when what they did last week, where all of a sudden Bobby Lashley was all upset with MJF. And where did that come from? And it was very rushed. I mean, it felt like they kind of were speeding to the next chapter here. But if you pay attention to a lot of the segments and the backstage promos, you know, Lashley's been giving this guy the side eye now for weeks, right? There are times when they all look very jolly and very happy. But it's not like there haven't been little hints that have been left that, you know, Bobby Lashley doesn't like this fucking guy. So to say that it came out of nowhere with no forewarning is not true. You'd have to be paying attention to what's going on the show. But I'm glad they did this segment here because it was a great explanation from Shelton Benjamin. You know, look, we sniffed out your shit months ago. You know, we knew you were a fraud. We knew that you were just using us. We knew you were full of shit. And the only reason we didn't break you in half is because out of respect for MVP. But last week was a bridge too far because he, you know, MJF, he talked out of line and Lashley had enough and he snapped and that's when he threw him up against the locker. So I like the added explanation. And I thought maybe they were going to milk this for a little while longer, but no, according to Shelton Benjamin tonight, that's it. He's done. He is out of the Hurt Syndicate. And that could very well pave the way for MJF to play a role in their downfall come Forbidden Door when they put those tag team titles on the line. Would not at all be shocked if he is at ringside with them or, you know, gets involved in some way and it backfires and it ends up costing them the titles. It's just hard for me to imagine the Hurt Syndicate losing clean. Whether it's FTR or the Bucks or Brodito or whoever it is, I don't see that happening. But I do think we're going to get a title change. So how do you do it? That's one way to do it, right? You've kicked this guy out, he's obviously has a reason to get back at you. What better way to get back at you than by costing you your tag team titles? Tony Schiavone was in the ring after this, and he introduced Christian Cage for an interview. So Christian comes out to the ring by himself, because he's no longer a member of the patriarchy, right? They kicked him out. He gets into the ring and he says, my name is Christian Cage and I'm an asshole. They censored this. Okay, so I want you to explain this to me. He calls himself an asshole and they censor it. He then uses the word asshole a second time and it doesn't get censored. He uses it a third time and I think a fourth time and it gets censored. Make it make sense. I don't understand that. pick a lane and stick to it. That was very weird. He said that he's the type of, he's the type that's numb to the world and everything in it. And he doesn't care who's in his way or who gets hurt. He was focused on winning the AEW World Championship and fulfilling his destiny. And he brought up Revolution. He brought up hitting a spear. Almost winning the title, but he took a split second to look down and seeing his past. That little moment of hesitation cost him his future. And he didn't realize that Kip Sabian and Nick Wayne's nuts had dropped and that they could stand on their own and stand up to him, despite not earning the right to do so. When it comes to this business, he spent more money on rental cars than they have spent combined in both of their careers. He said he didn't stick to the plan that he had for winning the world championship because he didn't think that Nick, Kip, and Shayna were competent enough to pull it off, so he opted to take a big risk. And he asked what they would know about taking risks. He said that they sat in the lap of luxury and they rode his coattails while he made enemies over all the things that he said and did. And he recalled saying that he would snap Adam Copeland's neck in front of his kids and that he would take extra special care of Copeland's wife. And he recalled saying things about Copeland's mother. And he asked if the things that he said were really that bad. He asked if Copeland was going to act like he wasn't aware of the game within the game. And mentioned Copeland telling him to go find himself. Christian said maybe he did, and maybe he didn't. But he and Copeland are so different, yet somehow they are the same. And I'm listening to him as he's, you know, going through all of this, and I'm like, this is kind of... promo is kind of meandering on here. So Tony Schiavone speaks up. This is one of those rare interviews where the person didn't immediately get into the ring and just take the microphone out of Schiavone's hand and he just leaves. He actually had to stand there and hold the microphone. Like, fucking old school here. So Schiavone asked him, well, where do things stand with you in the patriarchy? And Christian said that they embarrassed him and they left him laying it all in. The patriarchy decided they didn't need a patriarch any longer. And Christian said that Shayna was right about one thing. He did have a hard time getting up that night. Christian said that he had found himself, though, in holes in the past, and none of them were as deep or as gaping as the last time that he was with Mother Wayne. But he always managed to climb his way out. I will not tolerate any of this Mother Wayne slander here. I'm not going to stand for this. Christian said that Nick has more talent than he ever did. He said that Nick was the prodigy and he cared about him and protected him. He said that Nick had the audacity to refer to himself as the new face of AEW, now and forever. Christian said Nick has all the tools to be just that, but he would have to go through him to get there. And he said that Nick already has one dead father and now a father who is dead to him. Christian announced that he is disowning Nick and Kip Sabian, and with that, he left the ring. Now, he's walking to the back. As he's going to approach the stage, Mother Wayne walks out. And she meets Christian on the stage, and she tried to slap him, but he blocked it. Christian turned, though he spotted Kip Sabian trying to ambush him from behind, but then when he turned back towards Mother Wayne, there was Nick Wayne. And Nick blasted him in the head with his Ring of Honor TV title. So Nick yelled that he disowned Christian. Well, not the other way around. He disowned Christian. And Nick and Kip, they were about to, they were handed two chairs by Mother Wayne. And they were waiting for Christian to rise back to his feet. And then they delivered a standing concerto, about as safely as you could possibly deliver a standing concerto. They protected this man. He was very safe on this concerto. But then Christian falls to the floor. He starts twitching a little bit and convulsing on the ground. And that was the end of the segment. So I assume based on what they did here at the end, Christian is going to disappear again for at least a few weeks. This was not one of his better promos. Like, I'm a big fan of Christian, and I'm a big fan of the work that he has done in AEW over the last few years. this was an off night for him, because he does this thing in his promos, and I actually think it's smart if you don't rely on it too much. If he's out there live, he's cutting a promo. If he misspeaks, right, or he starts to say a word but he kind of fucked it up in some way, he'll stop, because you could tell when he misspeaks, he'll stop, pretend that he hears something in the crowd, and he'll look at it and go, shut up, right, or I'm conducting business. He did this multiple times tonight, right, but it just gives him a chance to kind of make up for misspeaking, and then he gets back on track. And that's fine, but he did it like four different times here in this promo. Like, he was tripping over his words, he kept stopping, and he would turn to the crowd and say, wait, I'm conducting business here, but like the crowd wasn't making any noise. Yeah, but then they would boo him anyway. So it was just very, he was shakier on the mic here than I ever remember seeing him before. This was not one of his better nights. So that was very, very noticeable here. But the slow burn continues, you know, towards the inevitable reunion with Cope and Christian. They got plenty of time. I don't see this match happening until Toronto. Toronto is, what, September 20th, 21st? Whatever that weekend is. All Out. Still got plenty of time between now and then. Christian could stay out for another 3 weeks before he even comes back to TV. But this is what we're building towards. And the only question really is not, it's not even a question of, are they going to do it, and are they going to do it at All Out? I'm fairly certain we're going to get it at All Out. The only question is it going to be a title match or not? You know, is it Cope and Christian going for the tag team titles against FTR? Does FTR win this tournament and go on to beat the Hurt Syndicate at Forbidden Door so that they can get the belts on the line in that match? I am sure that Tony Khan would love to put his tag team titles on Adam Copeland and Christian Cage, just to be able to say that they were tag team champions in AEW. Well, this could be his chance to do that. That's the only question here. Doesn't have to be for the title, but is it or is it not? Everything else just seems very predictable. Not predictable in a bad way, but just you can see where things are headed. You know, it's just a matter of what week do we get that handshake? What week do we get that, the actual reunion where they get on the same page, right? Common enemy. Put our differences aside. Get back on track. The only question is when. Speaking of which, FTR was in the back with Stokely Hathaway, who said that they're one step closer to taking back their tag team titles. And he said that Adam Copeland was banned from the building because of what he did to him last week. The Young Bucks walked in. FTR played nice with them and said that, look, we hope we see you guys in the finals. And they shook hands. FTR left. Stokely, though, he still had his crutch. Stokely stuck around. Stokely Hathaway, he stuck around. And he turned to the Bucks and he asked, are you really stripped of your EVP powers? Like, you guys aren't EVPs anymore? And the Bucks confirmed that that was the case. And so Stokely, he dropped his crutch and he tried to do a jump scare like that. He tried to scare him. And then he laughed and he picked up his crutch and he walked away. I love Stokely. And then Matt Jackson screamed, everybody in this company is so fickle. It's true. Wrestling fans are very fickle. So then it was the top of the hour, and guess what? It's time for the main event. And I'm like, what? Fucking 9 o'clock. And here we go. The AEW World Heavyweight Championship, which we do not see defended on television very often, is about to be put on the line here. It is Hangman Adam Page defending against Jon Moxley with everyone banned from ringside. So the complete opposite of what we got at All In Texas. Yeah, Stokely. You like that, huh? Stokely. It's going to be his new name. Stokely Hathaway. Everyone banned from ringside. That's what they said. They even had security. All the security geeks were around the perimeter to make sure that nobody got involved in this match, because we know that the security staff are always so effective here on these wrestling shows. You may as well put these guys in a steel cage, because we know the cage always keeps everybody out. Justin Roberts delivered the in-ring introductions. Match spilled out to the floor very quickly. Page clotheslined Moxley into the timekeeper's area. They ended up back in the ring, and Moxley took control. He put Page down with a German suplex. Page came back with a pop-up sit-up powerbomb, or sit-out powerbomb, only got an earful. Moxley rolled to the floor. Page followed, and Moxley was only playing possum. And he raked the eyes, and then he ran Page into the ring steps. Then he pulled the steps away from the post, and he delivered a pile driver on top of the ring steps. And that took us into the commercial break. When they returned, they said that that was the last commercial break for the remainder of this match. They're going to stick with this match. No more interruptions. So after some back and forth, some strikes, Page suplexed Moxley, who popped right back up. Page put him right back down with a big clothesline. He went to the apron. He was setting up for the buckshot. Moxley, though, drop-kicked him to the floor. And then Mox followed Page out to the floor. He set up for something on top of the announce desk. Hangman countered into a deadeye on the desk. And Taz pointed out that Hangman was bleeding from the top of the head. I didn't even really notice, but he said he was bleeding from the top of the skull. Excalibur attributed the blood to the pile driver earlier on the ring steps, which would make sense. Back inside, Page hit a tombstone pile driver for a near fall. And then Hangman looked to the crowd. Moxley, though, took him down with a bulldog choke. Page escaped, hooked Moxley in a Bryan Danielson-esque lapel lock. Moxley scrambled and eventually reached the bottom rope with his foot for the break. Page wanted a deadeye on the apron. Moxley, though, raked the back and then hit a pile driver on the apron before delivering a gotch-style version back inside, only for two. Boy, this is a lot of guys getting dropped on their fucking heads here on this show. I can't imagine why there's so many injuries. Moxley wanted the Death Rider. Page, though, spun out. Forearms for Moxley just woke him up. And he booted Moxley outside before hitting the Orihara moonsault. Page tried a buckshot. Moxley countered. Tried for a Death Rider. Page countered. Got him up for a deadeye. So he gets him in position for a deadeye, and he starts to spin him, like he's spinning him around, and in so doing, he spins right into referee Paul Turner. Paul Turner got clipped, and, well, not in that way. He didn't get, let's not get morbid here, but he got struck, and he got knocked out. Sure enough, here come the Death Riders. I mean, you could set your watch to it, your fake Timu Rolex, you could set your watch to it. You see Claudio. You see Wheeler Yuta, they're in the crowd, they're slowly walking through the crowd. Security intervenes, they do their job, but it was just a smokescreen for Marina Shafir to sneak around. Now she's at ringside, and she grabs the AEW World Championship, and she feeds it to Jon Moxley. Moxley then blasts Hangman in the head with the belt, and security had their backs turned, so they didn't see any of this. Moxley covers, Paul Turner crawls over to make the count, and Hangman gets a shoulder up, and everybody in the building cheers. Everyone's elated. I am relieved. Paul Turner calls for security to eject Marina Shafir. She starts fighting back and pitching a fit. Claudio reaches over the barricade and grabs her and carries her away, kicking and screaming. But as they're going through the crowd here, now again, they're in the Aragon Ballroom. So it's a relatively small venue, but it has those balconies. It's like a theater. As they're walking through the crowd, the camera pans up and you see Darby Allin climbs over the balcony. So he's now standing on the ledge and he does a balcony dive and he dives all the way down onto the pile of security geeks down below. He overshot Claudio and Yuta. I think he landed on Marina Shafir and the security. Claudio was spared though, but everybody ended up falling down. Back in the ring, Hangman wipes out Moxley with the buckshot lariat. No pin cover, though. Instead, he picks up Moxley. Moxley escapes. See, I didn't like that, how he no-sold the buckshot. So he escapes whatever Hangman was trying here. Sinks in the choke. Hangman gets out of it. Hits the deadeye. Back out to the apron. Second buckshot lariat connects, and Hangman covers. And he gets the 1-2-3 to retain the championship. I didn't think it was going to go any other way, but you know, with Tony, you can never be too sure. You can never be too sure. But Hangman is still the AEW World Champion. It was a good match. Not as good as their pay-per-view match, but it was a good match. The crowd was hot for it. They were hot for the match. They were hot for the near falls. And it was the right outcome. And we can finally be done with this. And we got a world championship match on TV. You know, we had something that was a big match like this that was promoted in advance. There are weeks where we don't know a whole hell of a lot before the show goes on the air. Apparently, that's a strategy. Tony Khan has talked about that being a strategy. It's not a strategy that I necessarily like, but we had a big match promoted for the show. It's rare that we get a world championship match. I think we've had that, twice this year elsewhere, right? We had Moxley and Copeland. They had their rematch on TV after their awful match at Revolution. And we had Moxley and Samoa Joe, right? Was that Beach Break? I think it might have been. So you save it for special occasions. It doesn't happen very often. There's nothing wrong with that. And it gives you a big match, you know, to look forward to on the show. So that's fine. And you've got Darby Allin. He's still stalking the Death Riders. So the direction for Moxley seems pretty clear going forward. The direction for Hangman is clearly MJF. He will not give MJF a shot, though, unless he earns it or unless he cashes in that title contract. If he earns it in the next few weeks, he may earn it next week in the main event. That may be the championship match for London. It could just be Hangman one-on-one against MJF because they have not teased anybody else. Like, if it's not him or Mark Briscoe, nothing else makes sense. Clearly, it's going to be one of those two men. And the stronger of the two matches would clearly be Hangman and MJF, not Hangman against Mark Briscoe. You know, babyface in the main event of that pay-per-view. I don't like that as a Forbidden Door main event. Hangman and MJF should be the direction. The only other thing I could think of, and this would be even worse, because it is Forbidden Door coming up, in the past sometimes we've had, you know, I'm pretty sure we've had at least 1 year where the AEW World Champion wrestled the IWGP champion or some member of the New Japan roster. If not, that might be something they want to do because we get those interpromotional matches. I don't want to see that. Like, I want them this year, I want them to, when it comes to like their main champion, keep the focus on the stories in hand. Don't take a detour and it's like, oh, it's Forbidden Door season, so we're going to go this way and we're just going to do this match out of nowhere. It's like when WWE did Tiffany Stratton and Trish Stratus at Evolution. Right, which was fine. It was a solid match. It was okay, but it was just like out of nowhere. I'm going to do Tiffany and Trish because it's Evolution, and so we want to have some of the legends on the show. No story, no nothing. It's like we're just going to do it. It's like, okay. It's not really ideal. It just feels like we're taking a pause until we get back to the stories that matter, and that's one of the risks that you run with these Forbidden Door shows. In this case, I'd rather not see them use Hangman in a role like that, so I don't think that's what they're going to do, but I hope not. I thought there was going to be a cash-in attempt here. I really did. I thought there was going to be a cash-in attempt, and Mark Briscoe would come out and foil it after what MJF did to him last week. They went a different way with it later in the show. I don't know why you wouldn't close the show with this match. It was a very odd choice as far as the placement of this match on the show. We saw why with the angle that they did at the very end. So having seen that, I understand why Tony wanted this where it was. It was still an odd choice, though. I would love to see how big the drop-off is from the end of this main event, which probably ended around 9:25, maybe. I don't think it was not quite 9:30, but it was around then. From that point until the end of the show. I would be curious to see that. Maybe the idea here was we want to hook as many people in as possible at the top of the 9 o'clock hour and keep them or try to keep as many of them as we can for those remaining segments. Because if we wait until the end and we feed them these other matches before it and people maybe aren't interested, then we may not have as many people for the main event. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the mindset would be on that. It has nothing to do with being worried about going over. I mean, we have an overrun on the show every week. We had an overrun on the show tonight. So that doesn't have anything to do with it. It was just a very weird place to put your world championship match here on the show. And like I said at the beginning of the review, part of me really did think maybe we're not getting the Tony Storm tag match and the Ricochet match with Briscoe. Maybe they just said that we were getting those matches and they let this match go the full hour, you know, and we get those matches, but we get them on Collision tomorrow. And then they just kind of surprise us, you know, by giving us this long 45-minute, 60-minute affair. But they didn't do that. This match went about 25 minutes. We got a video package, very brief, promoting a Chicago street fight for Collision, which is airing on Thursday this week. So we're getting a Chicago street fight. It's the final show at the Aragon Ballroom, TNT Championship, Dustin Rhodes putting his title on the line against Kyle Fletcher. So it looks like Dustin's token run is about to come to an end. Today's episode is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Summer kicked in again this week here in a big way. It was back up into the 90s. I went outside to do some walking and I got burned. That was my mistake. Just like it was my mistake when I got burned by my old wireless bill. Never again. If I told you what it was costing me at one point, you wouldn't believe it. Or maybe you would. Maybe that's the problem. But it doesn't have to be. With Mint Mobile, you can get the coverage and speed that you need, but for way less money than you're paying right now. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months of unlimited premium wireless service for just $15 a month. Say goodbye to your overpriced plan, those fat monthly bills, and those unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to save the day. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number with you as well, along with all of your existing contacts. They make it super easy. Ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of unlimited service from Mint Mobile for just $15 a month. You know, in the time that I've been using Mint, I've not had any interruptions in service. It's there when I need it. No drop calls. No, say that again, you cut out on me. You know, no slowdown when I'm searching for something in my browser. I wish I could say the same about my old provider. And I laugh when I see my bill now, which is, it's all I can do to keep myself from crying, you know, when I see what I'm saving each month by comparison. For the same basic service, no less. It's insane. But that doesn't mean that you have to be. There's no time like the present time to make the switch. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get this new customer offer and your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Solomonster. That's mintmobile.com/Solomonster. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. We had Timeless Tony Storm and Alex Windsor teaming up to take on Athena and Billy Starks. Very happy. We are seeing Athena consistently on these shows every single week. This is what I've been waiting for. Took long enough. So I just want to acknowledge that now. Whenever I see this woman, I feel compelled for all the times I said, where is Athena? Why is she not on this show? To acknowledge the fact that I am happy now. That she, and Billy Starks too. Billy Starks is very good, but she's no Athena. And so the fact that we're getting airtime on not just Collision, but on the A show, what would be their A show, is very good. Long overdue, but I'm glad we're getting it. Tony and Excalibur, they make some jokes about Luther as Athena wrestles Windsor to the mat. Storm tags in without Athena knowing, and she turns around and she wants Tony to put up her dukes, but then Athena rolls through and tags in Billy. Billy shakes hands with Tony, only to take a cheap shot. Storm flattens Starks, then uses a misdirection to hit a drop kick. Windsor sends Starks to the apron and hits a heat seeker. Covers her, Athena breaks it up. Athena baits Tony into a clothesline on the floor by Billy. We get a cannonball from the apron by Alex to Billy Starks. Back inside, Starks catapults Windsor into a DDT from Athena. That takes us into picture in picture. We come back from a break and Windsor throws a desperation headbutt. Athena jumps in, misses a senton as Windsor nearly gets the tag. Starks, though, pulls Tony's legs out from underneath her. So Windsor had a fight back, series of lariats led to a double down. We got a Liger bomb that spiked Athena, Billy broke up the count, though, and then ate a charging boot from Toni Storm for her efforts. Discus lariat from Windsor to Athena, but Starks flew in with a senton across the back. So we got tags made here to Billy Starks and to Toni Storm, who ran wild with drop kicks and hip attacks, and this woman is now using Mongolian chops in her matches. She really is going back in the vault here. We got some Mongolian chops from Toni Storm. Led to a Thez press on Billy Starks, who then ate sweet cheek music. Athena, though, made a blind tag as it happened. So I love the way they did this here, because what happened is Billy Starks takes the sweet cheek music, right? So she's down in the corner. Toni is walking out of the corner, does not realize that Athena, who I believe was on the floor, crouched down, gets up, and she tagged Billy on the head, immediately jumps back down to the floor and crouches down. Toni sees none of this, so she has no idea that a blind tag has been made. She goes back over to pick up Billy Starks and do something. She thinks she's got her between her legs. Meanwhile, Athena now is on top, comes off with the O-face, and hits her finish on Toni Storm and pins her. So the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion pins the AEW Women's World Champion here in this tag team match to win it for her squad. After the match, Billy Stark slams Alex Windsor into the barricade outside. Athena holds up her contract. She's got, just like MJF does, she's got her guaranteed world championship match. Holds up the contract and says that it's only a matter of time, and her time is forever. I like this match, and it's a big win for Athena. I mean, look, it establishes her as a real threat for the AEW, you know, World Championship. And honestly, you know what it should do? It should earn her a championship match. Because if you are going to have your world champion wrestling, I don't care if it's a singles match or a tag match, you know, and they do this with these eliminator matches that they have all the time. If you're going to have your champion in a match and they get pinned, if the title is not on the line, whoever pins them should get a shot at that championship. That's the way it should be. So the fact that she pinned Toni Storm in this match, when she could have easily pinned the new girl who was making her fucking debut on this show, they didn't go that way. They had her pin Toni Storm. That should be the match for Forbidden Door, irrespective of the contract. Same thing with MJF. He's been trying to get a match with Hangman Page. If he wins next week in the main event, he should. Even though he's got the contract, that shouldn't matter. We could be looking at a situation where our two key matches at Forbidden Door include the two people who won contracts in Texas, who get their title matches without using the contracts. And that would be a little weird if it happened with both of them, but for sure, it looks like we're going to get at least one of them getting a title match on that show. But they should be doing Toni Storm against Athena. That should be the match. And you know what you could do? You could have a match between them and Toni Storm wins, and then after the match, she cashes in the contract and wins the title anyway, right? I could see a scenario playing out just like that. But you pin the champion, you get a shot. Period, end of story. That's the way it should be. Now we go to the back. Renee is about to interview the AEW World Champion Hangman Page. MJF interrupts. He interrupts Seabiscuit and congratulates him, and he calls out Hangman for calling him a coward last week. But he thinks Hangman is the coward in this scenario. He won't face him, he says. Right? Hangman said, I won't face you unless you execute the contract or you earn a shot in some way. But he remembers the days of them having a fighting champion here in this company named Swerve Strickland. The Hangman says, look, you think you're going to goad me into giving you a title match? You're going to have to earn it, or you're going to have to cash in that contract. One of those people in front of you in line, because there are people who are in line in front of you, is Mark Briscoe. So he's more likely to get a title match than you are. And so if you want a shot, you're going to have to jump in front of Briscoe. And MJF says, typical, just a bunch of hicks from the sticks sticking together. Hangman hit him back with, I don't see the Hurt Syndicate here. So he doesn't know what's stopping him from beating MJF's ass right now. And with that, MJF turned and he walked away. After a break in the back, Alicia Atoute was with Willow Nightingale. This is a weird promo. I like Willow. This was a weird promo. So she's interviewing Willow Nightingale. Said the Willow challenged the toxic spider, Tekla, to a match. And has yet to get a response from Tekla. So instead, Tekla made some new friends. Because now she's in a group, right? Is it Tekla, Julia Hart, and Sky Blue, I believe, are a new trio? I believe so. So Willow says she went over Tekla's head, and I guess her eight legs, to Tony Khan. She does a Tony Khan impression, which Excalibur later says is a bang-on impression of Tony Khan. She went to Tony Khan and suggested a match for Collision tomorrow night, and he said, sure. So that match is official for Collision. And then we had the main event. Mark Briscoe taking on Ricochet, who I will point out will be headlining the House of Glory show this Friday against the Amazing Red. The rubber match in their series, a series that dates back to 2013. But first, Ricochet has to get past Mark Briscoe here. Briscoe missed a corner charge, fired off a thrush chop, though, to send Ricochet crashing outside. Didn't take very long into this match for Ricochet's new crew, the Gates of Agony, to make their way to ringside and got up on the apron. So the Gates of Agony distraction allowed Ricochet to hit a follow-up dive out to the floor. He's standing there with Toa Leona and Bishop Khan, and that takes us into the final break. Back from the break, Briscoe, he hulks up. He fires back with some strikes until he blocked a pump kick and sent Ricochet flipping over face first. Ricochet grabbed Bryce Remsburg, which allowed Toa Leona to low bridge Briscoe out to the floor, where Ricochet then hit a corkscrew dive. Back inside, the springboard lariat connects flush, which led to a standing shooting star press for two. Ricochet went for the spirit gun, but it was blocked. Briscoe wanted a J-driller, opted instead to clothesline Ricochet outside. Bishop Khan took the bullet, shoved Ricochet out of the way, and ate a baseball slide from Briscoe. And so setting up a chair in the ring, Briscoe launched himself out of the ring and onto the good Bishop and Ricochet on the floor. Back inside, the J-driller was blocked, but not the lariat, which turned Ricochet inside out. Briscoe wanted Froggy Bow, but Bishop took the referee. Toa Leona sent Briscoe crashing down to the mat. Ricochet hit Vertigo, and Briscoe kicked out at two. GOA, they went to go get into the ring when Brodito ran out to the ring. Yes, Brody King and Bandito. I can't believe that this has become a thing, but here we are. So Brodito rolls. Yes, they roll down. They row in their boat down to the ring, and they fight off the Gates of Agony, who they're going to be wrestling on Collision in the tournament tomorrow night. So they brawl to the back. Briscoe turned Ricochet inside out again with a lariat before finally hitting a J-driller to win, to cap off what I thought was a solid main event here. Now, after his big win, and I'm watching this, though, and I'm thinking, okay, obviously something is about to happen here, because if they just go off the air like this, then it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever why they didn't close the show with their world championship match. So something with MJF is obviously about to go down. Briscoe gets the microphone. He says, "We're just getting started tonight." And I'm sitting here and I gulp because I see that the time is 10:04. And I'm like, what are you talking about here? I got a show to do here. What do you mean we're just getting started? Says MJF, "You brought my brother's name forth one time. Shame on you. But you brought it forth again. Shame on me if I don't obliterate your ass." Goes, "Man, I've never felt like this before. I need help, man." Says, "I need help. For the first time, I really feel like I may never see my brother again, because he knows that he's chilling up in heaven in that mansion. But MJF, if I kill your ass in cold blood and I don't repent, because I can't repent, because not a single cell in my body feels even the slightest bit of remorse, I'm worried. So MJF, do me a favor, man. Make my day, damn it." Says, "Right here, right now, get your ass out here. Let's do this. Me and you." Or, you know, as Brock Lesnar once said, let's do
this.
Still one of my favorite Brock Lesnar moments. I don't give a shit what else he, if he never does anything again, that will always live rent-free in my head. Let's do
this.
Oh, man. So MJF's music played. And Briscoe has his eyes fixed on the stage, right? So he's waiting for this guy to walk out. No one comes out. Then we see MJF on the big screen in the back. He said, I'm not an idiot. He said, Mascot Mark, did I sense that you dropped the comedy routine? Because you sounded pretty serious. But that doesn't mean that I have to take you seriously. He has zero interest in wrestling Briscoe, but Seabiscuit said that he's too cowardly to wrestle him, so he spoke to that Mark, Tony Khan. And next week, it's going to be MJF one-on-one with Mark Briscoe. That is, if he makes it there. And at that moment, Briscoe turned around right into a low blow. A kick to the crotch by MJF. He got on the mic. He started screaming, who's the coward now, Hangman? And so Hangman's music hit. He casually walked down to the ring. He booted MJF. He threatened a buckshot. MJF, he ducked like this to cover up. But he got grabbed by Briscoe for a J-driller, but he managed to escape. And he ran for his life back to the stage. And that's how they went off the air. Mark Briscoe got to pose in the ring. Hangman was there. And that is how Dynamite ended tonight. Like I said, solid main event. I could see why Tony wanted to get the title match out of the way first. If Hangman was going to be coming back out, they shot the angle to set up the main event for next week's show. Like, I see it. I understand why he felt he had to do that. Again, for me, I'm setting up my big championship match, my big championship rematch to close the show. Especially if, you know, the babyface is going to go over with a big, you know, happy win and they had the hot crowd for it and all that. But they wanted to close the show with Mark Briscoe, who now for the second week in a row has picked up a win in the main event. First it was Claudio, now it was Ricochet, and now next week, 3 weeks in a row, he's going to be wrestling MJF. And we heard weeks ago, you know, even before All In, that MJF supposedly really wanted to work with Mark Briscoe, that maybe he lobbied for it, you know, he pitched for it. So they have really developed this longer-term program than I thought it was going to be, and they're telling a story with these two that now has them in a situation where it's effectively a number one contenders match next week, right? There's no reason that whoever wins this match next week should not be next in line to get a shot at Hangman Page. And if that's MJF, that means that he should go to Forbidden Door and challenge for the championship and still have his contract, right? Because he's not cashing in his contract. But if he beats Briscoe, that's got to be the match for Forbidden Door. So this accomplished a few different things. It set up the main event for next week, a week in advance, which I thought was good. And it furthered the tension between Hangman and MJF. The real story here is Hangman and MJF. And you know what? In the process of building to that match, if they can help, you know, develop some more credibility with Mark Briscoe as somebody who the fans could get used to seeing in main event level matches. Because there's probably a lot of fans who still look at him and they just don't see him as, you know, a main event guy. They don't see him as being world champion in AEW. They don't see him headlining Dynamite every single week. The only way you're ever going to try to convince people, you know, that he belongs in that spot or try to elevate him or anybody new is doing what they're doing with him. You put them in main events and you have them win. It's such a simple formula. And half the battle is already won because the fans really like Mark Briscoe. Is it going to stick long term? Probably not. But I don't fault them for trying, right? If you look at someone like Briscoe and say, oh man, come on, this guy's in the mid card. I don't buy him as being in the main event. Okay, well, this is what you would do if you want to try to, you know, build his profile up a little bit. So that's what they're doing. So when I look at what they did, you know, up and down the card, aside from the weird positioning of the title match, we got a big championship match on the show, which was pretty good. We had a solid main event here with an angle that set up the main event of next week's show. I enjoyed the women's tag team match. The opening tag match in the tournament was also really good, even though I hated the finish. But the match itself was really good. The Christian Cage promo was a miss. That whole segment from start to finish was a miss. I'm sorry. But everything else on the show I thought was either solid or very good. So I enjoyed Dynamite this week. I thought it just flowed well. They hit the stories they needed to hit. Again, Tony and Athena. And so it gets a thumbs up from me. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. Ooh, look at this. Almost even Steven. This doesn't happen very often. 50.1%. This is like an election result. This is like a U.S. election result. 50.1% thumbs up, 49.9% thumbs down. A virtual tie so far in the poll. Wow. Go vote at Solomonzer. You might be able to tip the scales one way or the other. See, this is what they mean when they say every vote counts. It's true. At least in my polls, they do. Man, 50.1 to 49.9. Some craziness there. All right, let's take a look at your super chats here. Get them on in before we wrap things up. And on the likes, we are at 333. So we still need about 70-ish. You want to be the booker, we need about 70 more likes. So let's see if we can hit that goal. All right, let's go back here. Start from the very beginning. And we will begin with Death Scythe, who is with us tonight. Death Scythe says, I rewatched the match between Rick Rude and Hulk Hogan for the WWF Championship at the Boston Garden, January 9th, 1988, and hearing Jimmy Hart shouting, poor Bobby, on commentary will never not be funny. It's too bad we didn't get a pay-per-view match between those two. Dry Chicken says, after SummerSlam concludes, he will be taking a break from doing Hulk Hogan references. Thank God. Christian Cage took that concerto like a champ. Yeah, he took it. It never even touched him. They got enough people out hurt right now. The last thing they need is to concuss someone else. He also says, I wished Lyra Valkyria on Monday Night Raw said, Becky, I'm coming for you. It would have made the promo better because it wasn't a very good one. One of the great things about having WWE and AEW, he says, it is a wonderful clash of philosophies in pro wrestling. Less is more versus less is a bore. Less versus more. Becky Monet and Mercedes Lynch should both star in a reality TV show together called Becky and Mercedes Know Best. Enjoy. I will not be watching. Joseph Stewart, Cody Rhodes is on Hot Ones this week with a question mark. You're asking me? I don't know. Is he on Hot Ones this week? Is he going to be wearing a suit? Is he going to get some barbecue sauce all over his suit? I believe I did see something about him being on Hot Ones this week, so I believe you are correct. Also, are you a fan of the Fantastic Four? I was when I was younger. Yeah, I used to collect the Marvel trading cards and I had some of the comics, so I'm not like a huge fan, but I love, you know, the Silver Surfer and Galactus and all those characters. Also, were you a fan of Ultimate Warrior's WCW theme song? Brother, I don't even remember his WCW theme song. I've blocked out his entire WCW run. His WCW run was hot garbage. So, no. Dried Chicken, let me tell you how Cena can stink up the match at SummerSlam, brother. John Cena orders a lot of junk food and or like pizza, McDonald's, and ice cream. Purposely gets sick and cannot compete in the match. That would be pretty awful. Or, you know, he overeats and then vomits in the ring. Cody slips, hits his head, knocks himself out. Cena pins him and retains the title. Still better than Travis Scott. Joseph Stewart, do you think we would have gotten a Sting versus Ultimate Warrior match in WCW if Warrior did not leave? No. I don't see them doing a babyface versus babyface match with the Warrior. Buy or sell Hulk Hogan in red and yellow in WWE or in WCW as Hollywood Hogan? On that, I would advise you to listen to the latest Sound Off. You got to check out the podcast, brother. Go check out the mailbag this week. And you will get your answer. Literally answered that question on the Sound Off. But that's because Joseph brings all the good questions. That's why I made the podcast. Brandon Proctor, 38 months of channel membership. That's a long time. Brother Solo and Chat, 38 months of supporting the best wrestling podcast out there. Me? This guy here? Okay. I'll take the compliment. Justin G, with 28 months. He's behind by 10. Brandon's got 10 months on him. Still on the road to the Blue Skull. Thanks, Solomon Monster. And Chat, some of the highlights of my week here. Absolutely. And I notice everybody's got their name back because YouTube went and fixed it. I don't want to jinx it, though, because they may take it away again. But for now, anyway, everyone has their normal names in the chat back. Dry Chicken. Love you, brother. Duff's Vids. First person, I really like Eminem. Second person, I prefer Skittles. First person, no, like the rapper. Second person, why would you eat the rapper? Are you scripting out a new sitcom that you're pitching to the networks? This is like something out of an 80s sitcom. Joseph Stewart, did you know after Jeff Jarrett left WCW that they were going to have Deborah McMichael be part of Raven's flock? And both Raven and Deborah would have been the Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love of WCW. I've never heard that before. It's quite the imagination that you have there. Jacob Donnelly with that $80 drop from earlier. Out of all the stupidest storylines that Kane has been a part of, which one, in your opinion, stands out as the worst? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was the storyline where he forced himself on Lita and impregnated her with his child, and then she had a miscarriage. I would say that one wins by a country mile. Joseph Stewart, buy or sell Dom and Liv or Triple H and China? Triple H and China. Now, you see, everyone's mentioning Katie Vick. The thing about Katie Vick, though, Katie Vick is one of those things where it's so bad, it's good. Like, it's, maybe good is not the right word. It's so bad that it's just hilariously funny how fucking awful it was. Because I still remember the night on Raw where Kane had to stand in the ring and deliver that whole promo explaining that they went on a date and there was a car accident. What was it, like a squirrel jumped out in front of the, it was like so stupid. It was the definition of wrestle crap. The other stuff that I mentioned with him and Lita and the baby, like, there was nothing redeeming about that whatsoever. So you can make an argument for either one, but at least with Katie Vick, in some morbid way, I suppose, you can at least have a chuckle about how stupid it was. Yeah, Shant in the chat says, I still don't understand how Lita was supposed to be the heel in that situation. Dude, that whole story was fucked up. And it was put together by a bunch of people who themselves are very fucked up. There were some very fucked up people in charge of putting that storyline together. So that explains a lot. Joseph says, buy or sell Magneto or Dr. Doom. Magneto. Dry Chicken. Imagine Becky Lynch at SummerSlam when she loses to Lyra Valkyria. Her last words will be, you got me, sister. Drops her on her head. Oh, you got me, sister. You got me. What do we need? 20 more? 20 more likes? 20 more likes to be the booker? Joseph says, what are your thoughts on the Wyatt 6 horror special at Universal Studios? I did hear about that. It sounds cool. Sounds like the kind of thing that would be fun to do. I don't know that my schedule is going to allow it, but if you are able to take part, I would recommend doing it. It sounds like fun. Duff's Vids, what does the receptionist say when you leave the sperm bank? Thanks for coming. Makes sense. Oh, Shant says, dude, I'm a girl. I'm glad you finally realized that. Surprised it took this long. Congrats, Mazel Tov. I'm very happy. Did I say brother? Well, then we'll say sister. Joseph Stewart, buy or sell Goldberg versus DDP or Goldberg versus Raven? As a match, Goldberg against DDP. Goldberg and DDP had the better match overall, but I will tell you, one of my favorite moments is from that Goldberg and Raven match. It is the moment where Raven he's beating on Goldberg in the corner. Goldberg is shaking it off. Raven goes and hits the ropes. He comes off, and that fucking spear that Goldberg gives him. I want you, if you go back and watch it, I want you to watch the crowd. I cannot remember a moment in wrestling where the crowd jumped to its feet as quickly as these people did, all in unison. Like, that building erupted and everybody rose to their feet. And then from there, all the members of the flock, you know, they try to attack, and he throws Kidman out of the ring, and, you know, he spears Horace Hogan, and then he picks up Ron Reese for the jackhammer, and everyone's just losing their minds. The ending of that match is just wild. But again, that was during that period there in the spring and summer of 98 where Goldberg was just absolutely white hot as a draw for them. Joseph says, I miss WCW so much. I could tell. The Goldberg-Raven match was from Nitro. I want to say that match... Raven only had the title for 24 hours, didn't he? Yeah, so whatever that pay-per-view would have been, I want to say Spring Stampede. It would have been, I think, Nitro the night after. So April of 1998. You can find it on Peacock. Goldberg and Raven. Joseph Stewart, buy or sell NWO Wolfpack theme or NWO black and white theme? I still like the OG black and white theme. The Wolfpack theme is great, but I'm going with the original theme. Duff's Vids. Why does Piglet always stink? He always is playing with poo. You know, your super chat just reminded me, I never did see that horror version of Winnie the Pooh. Somebody made a horror version of it. I never saw it. Right? It's called like Blood and Honey, I think. Oh, God. Bree mode has been activated.
by the Juliet. Didn't See Murder sing the Wolfpack song? I believe See Murder is the vocals on the Wolfpack track. Don't bother, it sucks. Oh, the movie sucks. Ooh, okay. All right. No, no, Thomas says it was actually pretty good. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. Now that we're past the All-Star break, this is where the baseball season gets interesting. You may even have that hat on supporting your favorite team. But be honest now. Are you wearing that hat to support the team, or are you wearing it to hide the fact that your hair is thinning? Lord knows I'm shocked the Mets haven't caused my hair to fall out entirely over the years. But seriously, it's okay. It happens to lots of guys. You are far from the only one. Hims offers access to a range of prescription treatments that are a home run for hair regrowth. And by the time you start seeing results, your team will hopefully be in the playoffs. That's a fuller head of hair by the fall. Hims offers access to a range of hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You can get started from the comfort of your own home. Just fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is fully online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at just $35 a month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair, and you can too. All you need to do is make that all-important decision that could change your life. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/solomonster. That's hims.com/solomonster for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/solomonster. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Hog dog. Too bad we didn't get to see a Luchasaurus turn. I just hope he's doing okay. I mean, the reports that were coming out about him for a while there were very ominous as far as his health. And I have not heard an update on his health in a while, but I assume he's doing well. Whether or not we see him back in the ring, I don't know. I have no idea. Joseph says, were you a fan of Sting in the NWO Wolfpack? And were you also a fan of Sting coming out to the ring to the NWO Wolfpack theme song? You really like that song, don't you? I was not a fan of Sting in the Wolfpack. He looked badass with the red face paint, no doubt. That group was very cool. Sting in the NWO is and will forever just feel wrong to me. It's just wrong. It should not. It should never have been. It's like when the NWO came out to help Sting at WrestleMania 31. Right? They had DX come out to help Triple H. And they had Hogan, Hall, and Nash, two-thirds of which are now gone. But they had them come out to help Sting. It just never made sense. Like, the visual of the NWO standing there supporting Sting, it's just wrong. It doesn't feel right. GMB. Loser of Jade and Tiffany attacks the winner post-match. What are the chances? I think the chances are pretty good. Because I think one of them is going heel soon. So one of them being a sore loser and attacking the other, I think there's a very good possibility. Joseph Stewart. Were you a fan of DDP and Karl Malone feuding with Hollywood Hogan and Dennis Rodman? Yeah, I mean, it was okay. It was all right. I wasn't marking out for it or anything like that, but I mean, it was cool. We got some cool segments out of it. They did a whole thing on the Tonight Show one night where they all attacked each other. I remember that. Moore says, Tanahashi against Hanger for Forbidden Door for his retirement run. No. No. I really don't have any interest in seeing it. I don't want to kind of build the show around that as a match. I wouldn't do that. I would have Tanahashi on the show, but against Hangman, it's just unnecessary. I wouldn't do it. Dry Chicken says Mother Wayne is going to take one of her high heels, implant it into Christian Cage's butt cheeks. She will give Christian the whole wide world. You know, we had that Mother Wayne, the Nick Wayne's mom song super chat pop off like four times the other night. I got a lot of compliments on my singing. Got to make sure it doesn't go all to my head. Duff's Vids. How does a woman hold her liquor? By the ears. Michael Darcy with the 12. Have you seen WWE Unreal yet? If so, can you share some quick thoughts? Is it worth a watch? Also, your Mets just got swept by my Padres. Thanks for the uplifting update there. I'm halfway through Unreal, so I will be holding off on my full thoughts until probably Sunday. We'll see. It's going to be a very busy weekend. There will be a podcast on Sunday, so if I can get even a small review out there as part of the sound off, I will. What I've seen so far, I mean, there are elements of it that I like. There are elements of it that are just, you know, kind of what I would have expected. Is it worth a watch? Some of the episodes are. I think some of the, like, if you're a fan, if you're a WWE fan, and if you have any interest in how some of the things work in terms of the gorilla position and some of the creative meetings, there is some interesting insights in there. You know, it's not like it's an offensive show or anything like that. I think there are some of the wrestlers who come across really well in there. Charlotte, Bianca being two of them. Duff's Vids says, I see Christian was taking a page out of the Triple H Grand Canyon promo book, dissing Mama Wayne. I agree. Mama Wayne does not deserve that. And she was catching strays out there. Zachary says, a new Masters of the Universe movie is coming out. As a He-Man fan myself, I am hoping that I'm hoping it looks good. No trailers yet, but some of the good actors are going to be in it. I have not heard about this. I'll have to look into this. I watched the original Masters of the Universe movie when it came out all those many years ago with Dolph Lundgren. So I was a huge He-Man fan of the cartoon as a kid. I had the toys and everything. So there's a new movie coming out. I'm always skeptical. Always skeptical about this stuff. But, you know, I saw that Mortal Kombat 2 trailer, and I'm pumped up to see that movie when it comes out in October. Terrible Dry Chicken, have you played MK2? I have not, by the way. Imagine the Learning Tree with Chris Jericho's voice echoing I'm the Learning Tree during the Living Forest stage. I have not played it, but what you've just described sounds awful. That sounds positively terrible. Super Pony. Did you see that Kevin Owens was supposed to win the title at the Chamber? It makes me sad. I really hope he gets a run if he ever comes back. Yeah, I mean, it would have been a short run, though. It wasn't, I mean, they even said in the episode, it wasn't really about putting the title on Kevin Owens, you know, and rewarding Kevin Owens as much as it was a way to further the story they were telling with Cody. I got the impression that he still might not have even made it to WrestleMania as the champion. So, but yeah, that was look, the thing about a show like this Unreal stuff, like in the writer's room, first of all, they're showing you what they want to show you, right? Imagine all the stuff that they probably filmed that didn't make the cut. But like, ideas are constantly bounced around. That's why it'll end up causing a lot of discussion. It'll cause some controversy. It'll probably hurt some feelings with some of the talent who realize, oh shit, I was in line for a push or I was in line for a title and then it got taken away from me, and they probably feel really shitty and resentful about it. Ideas are bounced around all the time. It's no different than a writer's room for any television show. They bounce around all kinds of ideas. We only see some of them. Most of them end up on the cutting room floor. But people now are going to get all upset. Oh, we could have had this. We're going to get this. You know, fuck them for not giving it to us. So it's going to create all kinds of chaos. But, you know, when you pull the curtain back, that's what happens. Bass Beerus says, Funk is on a roll. Justin G gifted a channel membership to Leopard Toes. Very nice. Thank you, Justin. The Juliet with the 25 regarding the Austin. If you aren't a champion, you shouldn't be in WWE line. He said that several times in character during his in-ring career, including one of the earliest WWE-produced home video DVDs. Yeah, I mentioned that as part of the mailbag on the Sound Off this weekend. I've heard him mention that in what felt like in-character interviews or promos. Don't know if he ever said it outside of that, or if he actually believes that. Bass Beerus, Booker T in the NWO was just wrong. I mean, when he literally got kicked out by Shawn Michaels, he got super kicked right out of the NWO. What was wrong was him making the comment that something here, I'm paraphrasing, but it was like something doesn't belong in this group. Something doesn't fit. It was Booker T. I wonder what he meant by that. You don't fit in with us. Thunder Force. When she loses to Lyra at SummerSlam, do you think Becky goes back to being a babyface? I don't know, but I think she goes to SmackDown. That's where I would send her. What's up, Eric? In the chat. I think I would move her over to SmackDown. I think they could use her more than Raw can coming out of SummerSlam. Joseph Stewart, were you a fan of Lex Luger in the NWO Wolfpack? I was indifferent. Him in the NWO didn't really do anything for me. The Juliet says, also, Drew is back in the U.S. Well, that's good to know. He's back on American soil. I figured that they weren't going to say anything, and they were just going to surprise us on Friday. I mean, I never really doubted he would make it back, you know, into the country before SummerSlam. Got stranded there a few days ago, for those who don't know, in the UK, because he didn't have his physical passport on him. They would not let him board his flight. Joseph says, are you going to see the new Naked Gun movie? I am not, but I am considering seeing the new Fantastic Four movie next week. So, if I do, I will report back. Arabian Knight, you see the Cross interview today talking about his contract and saying something about, in 30 days, we will all see. Would a Pipe Bomb live segment work with him? I think a Pipe Bomb live segment could work with anybody if it's done right. I don't think we're getting that with him. But I think if you construct a segment like that with the right person and they say the right thing, I think it could get people very excited. But you got to pull it off the right way. Punk was able to do it because Punk is one of the great talkers of this generation on the mic. Yeah, there aren't too many people who can cut a promo like CM Punk, so he made it work. So we are currently sitting at 419 likes, which is good. That means we hit our goal tonight. for Be the Booker, which doesn't always happen the last few weeks here on the Dynamite streams. Dynamite for some people has been a dead show, but we try to keep it lively around here. So I'm glad that we hit the goal tonight. And with that being said, let's not waste any time. Let's get into it. Let's be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
And you know what I'm going to be doing? I'm not going to be putting my main event championship match on first. We're going to save it where it belongs. We're going to save it last for the main event. So we'll start with the tag teams. Got some really good ones in here too. Here's one. The Brain Busters. Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, managed by Bobby the Brain Heenan, former WWF Tag Team Champions. And we have got the team of Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett. Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett. Well, there's an Attitude Era team for you right there. Owen and Double J against the Brainbusters. And look, I like Bobby, but in terms of the blonde managers here, I gotta go with Deborah on this one. I'm sorry, Bobby. I love you, brother. But we gotta go Deborah on this one. All right, so we're off to a great start there. We got Ty Mello. Ty Mello in Women's Be the Booker. Against Mercedes Moné with one of her many belts. This is one of the few belts that she actually no longer has. It's the IWGP Women's Championship. What are we thinking here? Mercedes Moné and Ty Mello. You know what? Give that the bell. I don't think that's a match that's happened yet, because Ty only came back a few months ago. But Mercedes has been on a roll with the matches that she's been having, so I have faith that the two of them will hopefully sync up and work well together. I think that would be a solid match. I give that not the most enthusiastic thumbs up, but I give it a thumbs up. I give it the bell. And now it's main event time. Can we book a better main event than Hangman and Jon Moxley? I would think we have a pretty good chance, given who's in here. We begin with Jeff Hardy on one side of the ring. Jeff Hardy is in the main event tonight here in Be the Booker. Now, if it was 2008 Jeff Hardy, people would be going nuts. Jeff Hardy against Bob Backlund. Jeff Hardy and Bob Backlund. Talk about a clash of styles. Yeah, I instinctively hit the buzzer there. I'm going to stick with that, but I could see where, you know, I don't know. My first instinct when I saw that was like, it's a clash of styles. I think that's just too much to overcome. I just think it's too much to overcome. I just don't think that works. I love Psycho Bob. I mean, look, I wanted a clean sweep as much as anybody. But you know what? Because I like you guys so much, because you've been killing it on the Super Chat so far, fuck it, we're going to run this shit back again. I'm giving you a bonus main event. I'm giving you a bonus main event because, unfortunately, in the match, Jeff Hardy came off the top rope and he broke his leg. And so the match ended prematurely, and so therefore we have a substitute main event. I don't do this very often, but we have a substitute main event here in Be the Booker. We have Batista The Animal Batista is going to save the day. Against who? That's the question. Who's it going to be? Batista against Darby Allin. There you go. It's not a clean sweep. We still technically had the other match, and that was a buzz. So we don't get the clean sweep, but at least we got a better main event. This is interesting, though, because I said the last match was a clash of styles. This is also a clash of styles, but this is a clash that I think it works. I mean, really, Darby in there against almost anybody. He's going to just bounce around like a rubber ball, and he's going to take these ridiculous bumps and crazy stunts. He'll make it work. That's right. He's going to end up inside this pit of danger. Hey, you know what? Speaking of danger, fuck it. Let's add a stipulation to this. I'm feeling frisky tonight. Batista and Darby Allin, last man standing. Yeah, that doesn't bode very well for Darby Allin. Poor Darby. That will not end well for him. We have got the Juliet, yes, says looks like YouTube fixed the names again. For now. They never should have changed it in the first place. They probably got enough hate. I'm hoping that they have changed it back for good. Because what they had started doing was they were showing everyone's YouTube at handle instead of their custom names. And so you couldn't figure out who was who. It was very annoying. Duff's Vids. Thank you, brother. For the $4.99. Oh my God. That's actually a bad one. I'm going to spare you me reading it because I actually think that's the weakest one. I'm going to spare you the toilet flush. Thank you, Leopard Toes. Leopard Toes, were you already a member? Because if not, I know you were gifted a membership, but sometimes it's completely random when people gift memberships. Occasionally, it will gift a membership to somebody who is already a member. So I don't know if you already are a member or not, but I'm glad you are now. Dry Chicken says, buy or sell Booker T's British accent on WWE television or his African accent on TNA. I believe that was Chet Lemon and was it Black Snow? Right? Him and Kevin Nash on commentary. Is that what it was? If I had to buy or sell on it, though, I'm going to probably go. I was very entertained by him and Nash when they did the commentary in TNA. Death Scythe, Hangman, Swerve, and Ospreay as trios champions, even just briefly. Nah, I mean, those titles are useless. We don't need that. We got Richie with the $20 super chat. In an interview Triple H did earlier about Hulk Hogan, they ask if they would make a bronze statue for him over the complicated issues with him. He said he did a lot for the business, and if we can make an Ultimate Warrior one, then why not? Was that his answer? That was his answer? Well, we made one for the Warriors, so fuck it. Why not? Wow. That's quite the way to answer the question, if that's what he said. Dried chicken without flavor. Jeff Hardy against Bob Backlund at the Hardy compound. Now that would have been an acid trip. And the Winston slip. 25 months of channel membership says, do too many wrestlers rely on weapons and big stunts to make their matches instead of just telling a story in the ring? I think that there is an over... Well, first of all, like, if you're talking WWE, it's not so much the wrestlers choosing to use weapons in their matches. Like, they're kind of told what the stipulation of the match is going to be. So you got to put a lot of that on the company. But yes, more so probably in like AEW and a lot of independent promotions, you know, the talent will have the freedom to say, hey, you know what? We're going to use weapons in the match. And so we're going to have this type of weapon and we're going to use that type of weapon. Do I think there's an over-reliance on it by some? By many, yes, I do. Yes. I mean, you just kind of get numb to it after a while, you know, especially when you get to see it every single week across multiple promotions. Because now there's so much wrestling that's visible on TV and streaming and everyone's kind of doing their own thing. But when you get a lot of these hardcore type matches and you see a lot of the same weapons used over and over again, whether it's kendo sticks or thumbtacks, whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean what it used to. It doesn't mean what it would if it was like, oh my God, we're getting a match where we're going to get thumbtacks. Holy shit, I haven't seen that in 2 years. You know, that kind of thing. Is there an over-reliance on it? Yes, because they know it's going to get a reaction. The fans are literally out there chanting, we want tables during most people's matches. Like, the table is more over than most wrestlers are today. So they feel compelled to give the people what they want. You know, because they feel people want to see plunder and they want to see weapons and tables getting broken every single night and they want to see chairs and fire extinguishers and all this nonsense. So do I think there's an over-reliance on it? Yes, I do. But thank you, Winston. And thank you, everybody else. That's it. That's all I got. Thank you for all the questions. Thank you for all the support. I'm going to be live with you on Saturday and Sunday night. I am covering SummerSlam night one and night two. And then there'll be a podcast on Sunday sandwiched in between. So we got a lot of content coming up this weekend. I will not be live on Friday night. The reason I will not be live on Friday night is because this is where I will be. I will be at the NYC Arena for House of Glory, our biggest show of the year, High Intensity. Ricochet and the Amazing Red. Honestly, two of the biggest innovators in terms of just high-flying, crazy shit of this generation. Ricochet and the Amazing Red. So they're going to go one-on-one. We got Bully Ray has had some issues with Zilafa, too. They were arguing again, I saw, on social media before. There was some stuff going on Busted Open Radio. We're putting them in the ring together. Carlito is back. We've got Indy Hartwell defending her championship against Priscilla Kelly. You see her there on the bottom of the poster. It'll be Priscilla Kelly's debut. So we have that. There's going to be a six-way ladder match. There's going to be a battle royal. There's going to be a lot of good stuff. That'll be on Triller TV. Friday night, 8 p.m. If you are inclined to watch that over SmackDown, that is where I will be. And if you are coming out to the NYC Arena, say hello. Hopefully I'll get to see some of you guys there. I always do. I met a ton of people in Texas. Texas was great. But anyway, so there will be no SmackDown on Friday night. Just be aware of that. Dry Chicken says, Willow against Mr. Backlund with marijuana mist. Hey, remember what Bob Backlund told Vince McMahon many years ago on TV? When he was talking about what's wrong with this country and he was talking about all the kids out there eating their marijuana. He was no fan of that. Don't eat your marijuana. What does Solo do on Thursdays on his only normal day off? Day off? Oh, my sweet child. Thursday is usually the day for me to catch up on all the work that I need to do heading into the weekend for the podcast. That's usually what Thursday is. Although if I'm lucky at night, I'll get to watch something other than wrestling for a change. Thank you, Sarah. And Big Ben. Oh yeah, one last thing I wanted to mention here. I posted on social media earlier, and I appreciate all the positive feedback. Today is the six-year anniversary that I was able to get my mother's children's book published, if you can believe it. Remember, I talked about the book when the book first came out, The Adventure of Hardy the Horse. It is still available. It's available on Amazon.com. It's available in some other places as well, but Amazon is probably going to be the easiest way to grab a copy of it. But that was 6 years ago today, The Adventure of Hardy the Horse. And I always love it. People would send in pictures of either their kids or, you know, nieces and nephews either being read the book or reading the book or holding the book. And it's just, it's super cool to see that. So today was a special day when I realized what the anniversary was. And it was hard for me to believe that it's been 6 years, but wow, it has been. So anyway, thank you for everybody who sent messages to me. That was very kind of you. Be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great night. And I will see you back here for SummerSlam. Tonight, SummerSlam, for the first time ever. Go check out the predictions that I have up on the channel for SummerSlam. It's all there. Until then, take care, guys.